You know, I've heard that story many, many, many times. I don't think I ever get tired of it. In fact, we just shared that same story, the same verses right out there in fires. We had a little fire pit out here just a half an hour before this service, and we read that story. And I think each time that I hear it and every time that I read it and every Christmas, it just kind of tends to really set in a little bit harder in my heart. And I begin to really, I guess maybe as I am a parent longer or a husband longer or whatever, or a Christian longer probably, where I just kind of begin to, it really starts to make a little bit more sense, and it tends to have just a little bit more meaning. And I always come away from it just thinking to myself, I don't understand. It's just hard to describe what God has done. And I feel like a lot like the Apostle Paul. In fact, that's just what I want to share with you a little bit tonight, a verse of Scripture that he has. It's found and it's tucked away in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. And it's just eight short words, one verse, short word, eight short words. And Paul says this: thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That really sums up how I look at the Christmas story a lot of times. It's just thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, every year at this time, I think that we think about choosing the right gifts that we can give to one another, to those special people in our lives. We think about that. And, you know, I thought to myself, you know, how many of us would say that we've ever received an indescribable gift? You know, what kind of a gift would it have to be called an indescribable gift? Would it be a gift that you open up and you say, wow, that is just a wonderful, beautiful gift, and it's something I've always wanted my whole life? What is it? Would it be a gift that carries a lot of emotional feelings because it's a gift that has come to you as a complete surprise by someone who is very close to you or someone that's very special in your life? Would that make it an indescribable gift? What would it be? What kind of a gift would it need to be called indescribable? 2 Corinthians 9. In that chapter, Paul starts out by writing about human gifts. The church in Corinth is taking up offerings to give to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And so Paul commends them for what they're doing, for their eagerness to help, and for their generosity. And he reminds them that those who sow sparingly will also reap sparingly. But then he says those who sow generously will also reap generously. But then he shifts his attention towards the gift that God has given. He changes the attention from human gifts to the gift that God has given in sending Jesus to earth for us. And he's at a loss for words. He just cannot find the words to really describe it. And so he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now at Christmas time, we do our best to describe the wonder of God's gift of Jesus to us. Musicians have composed some of the greatest music on this theme. Hymns like Joy to the World, or Silent Night, Holy Night, or O Little Town of Bethlehem. Some of the greatest music that our ears will ever hear were written about God's indescribable gift. Poets and painters and sculptors have taken up the tools of their trade to pay tribute to Jesus, the gift of God's love. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I oftentimes, what is it that makes Jesus indescribable? Maybe a better question is, how do you describe Jesus? What words would you choose to describe him? How do you describe a baby who's been born of a virgin? How do you describe God in the flesh, walking upon our earth and reaching out to hurting people? Isaiah said he'd be called Emmanuel, or God with us. How do you describe that? What words would you choose? How do you describe that which is spirit when all we've ever known is that which is either physical or material? How do you describe God who has all knowledge when all we have is limited knowledge? How do you describe God who is all powerful? How do you describe the eternal? How do you describe the indescribable? See, the Apostle Paul says we can't. We can't describe it. Words are just not adequate. And yet many of the wisest men in the world have tried to describe Jesus. I want you to listen to some words from the Council of Chalcedon from 451 AD. The greatest theological minds of the time came together and they tried to describe Jesus. And here's their description. Listen closely. Perfect in Godhead and yet perfect in manhood. Truly man of a reasonable, rational soul and body. Consubstantial, co-essential with the Father according to the manhood. In all things like unto us without sin. Begotten before all ages of the Father according to the Godhead. And in these latter times for us and for our salvation, born of the Virgin Mary and of the Mother of God. According to the manhood, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, to be acknowledged in two natures, inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, and the distinction of natures being by no means taken away by the union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved. Did you understand any of that? I didn't either. See, that is man's attempt to try to describe the indescribable. Even when we bring together our greatest minds and greatest vocabularies, we cannot adequately describe Jesus. Think about Jesus' purpose for coming to earth. It's just indescribable. The angels announced to the shepherds that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the fact that Jesus came into our world as Savior. He came to our world to save us. God saw somehow that mankind needed saving. And when he looked at our world, he knew that our greatest needs our greatest need wasn't for more wealth. It wasn't for better schools or even a better welfare system. Our greatest need was for a Savior. There will never be peace on this earth until men have been lifted up out of their sin and their hearts changed because the Savior has come into their lives. Our greatest need is to be saved from the penalty of sin and death. And how do you describe that? How do you put into words what God accomplished when he sent his one and only Son into this world? It's just indescribable. Think about God's gift of grace. You know, this week I was just thinking about, you know, every gift that I give this Christmas time, I'm going to give it to a person that, whoever that recipient is, they have some sort of claim on me. Now, you might try to say, well, wait, mate, that's not true. But it is. You think about it for a minute. I will give some gifts to my wife this year because she's my wife. I'll give some gifts to my children this year because they're my children. We'll give gifts to our family members because they're in fact family. And if I give a gift to you, it's probably because you gave me a gift last year and I didn't get one for you, and so I guess I owe you one, right? And thus the cycle just kind of keeps going on and on and on. If I give a gift to feed the hungry or clothe the naked or to take care of the homeless, I do that because deep down I believe that I have some sort of a debt to humanity. I feel an obligation to them. And yet that's why I think that God's gift is so incredible. Because he doesn't owe us anything. In fact, we are in constant rebellion against him and against his will for our lives. And it was with that in mind that the Apostle Paul says something very remarkable in the 5th chapter of Romans when he says this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies of God, Christ died for us. He died on the cross for us. God gives a gift, not because he feels obligated to give a gift, but because his love is so overwhelming. It's a gift of grace. And when you stop at the manger at Bethlehem and you look at the Christ child there, we need to realize that he is a gift of grace. And there are no words that are adequate enough to describe God's grace toward us in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul looked at Jesus and he said, I just can't describe him. All I can do is just fall on my knees and to thank God for his indescribable gift. And isn't that what we should be doing this Christmas? Falling on our knees, thanking God for his indescribable gift. When God looked at our confused world nearly 2,000 years ago, when he saw Roman soldiers marching in the streets, when he saw people looking for peace and meaning and looking for depth in life, he wanted so urgently to communicate his love. But how? How should I communicate my love? If I appear in person, he must have thought. If I stand before the people in all my glory, they'll be frightened. They'll all be scared away. They'll never feel that they can come near to me or talk with me. They'll be much like Moses, who stood on a mountainside and took off his sandals because he was standing on holy ground. They'll be much like Isaiah, who it says that when he saw the glory of God, he just stood there breathlessly and said, "Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips." If I speak, if they hear the thunder of my voice, they may never ever be able to grasp the words of my love. If I send down thousands of angels, maybe they won't know how to respond. Maybe they'll never be able to experience my love. How in the world do you describe that which is indescribable? God said, "I got it. I'll send a baby." Babies don't frighten people. Babies are so tender and soft and helpless. Maybe they'll hold the baby in their arms. Maybe they'll hear its gentle sighs. Maybe they'll experience my love if I send a baby. And so in the fullness of time, God sent his one and only Son as a baby. Indescribable. But see, the good news of it is for you and me is that we don't have to be able to describe him in order to accept him. Isn't that great news? That you and I, all we have to do is just be warmed and changed by this, by Jesus. And so as we continue to reflect tonight upon this momentous, amazing, indescribable occasion, my prayer is that each and every one of us would journey to the manger with the shepherds, that we would take Jesus into our hearts and to accept God's indescribable gift for each and every one of us. In just a few moments, we want to invite all of us here to just come and to just grab a candle. The candles are on the sides of the front here. Just to grab a candle. As you do that, we want to just make you aware that we are going to be taking up an offering tonight for Bethel Boutique. It's if you feel so inclined to give tonight, if you would just place your gift in the manger right up here. Well, we also, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we also want to invite everyone here to partake of the Lord's Supper, to take of that meal, and just as we do that together, we remember the coming of Jesus. And even though indescribable, tonight we recognize that His sacrifice was in fact for the whole world, for you and for me and for everyone. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what an amazing thing to be able to just meditate upon who you are, what you've done, who you continue to be, how you work in our lives, how you reach out across tremendous barriers. You could have come down and demanded that everybody accept you, but instead you chose to come near, to draw near to us, to enter into our world in, by putting on flesh. God, thank you for that indescribable gift. Not just the birth of a baby, but the hope for all of mankind. And tonight, Father, as we partake of the Lord's Supper together, I pray, God, for just that moment that we would be touched by your love, that somehow it would just be very real to us and just recognizing what an incredible thing it is that you've done. We ask that you would bless this cup and this loaf, that it would remind us of the hope that we have in you. In Jesus' name we pray.